This is the True Voice Media Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Gibbard. Back in 2011, I started a social business agency called True Voice Media. In 2013, I launched this podcast because my audience told me that they wanted to learn more about how social media could help them grow their business, but they wanted it to be interesting and without all the standard social media hype and BS, just someone who will give it to them straight with honest, simple strategies that they can use today. If you're a new listener and that sounds like what you want too, listen to this episode, and if you love it, subscribe to our show. We'd love to have you on board. So without further ado, let's get started. This is episode 58 of the True Voice Media Podcast. And here I am, the man by name of Chris Reed, who I am talking to. And at present, as we're recording this, it is evening here and it is morning there. So I say good morning to you, Chris Reed.
Good morning, Jeff. Oh, good evening.
It's evening here. It's evening. So, Chris, you were kind enough to reach out and say, like, hey, man, I dig your show, and I'm pretty cool and I'm pretty smart, so why don't we get on and talk? And we connected on Skype, and I said, you know what? That's a good idea. So here we are, and there's a lot that I think we have to talk about. So first, before we get into all the good stuff, tell the nice people who are listening who you are, what you do, and why you matter.
Sure. My name is Chris Reed. I'm originally from Brisbane, Australia. But now spend my days in Cambodia and the Philippines working from our two offices in digital marketing.
Go on. Come on. Digital marketing. That's a big world out there today, man. It's 2016. There's people who are in social. There's people in banner ads, people in email, people in SEO, pay-per-click. Tell the people what you do.
Yeah, that's certainly for true. I mean, to start with, we started out as a backlink company. So we used to make links from one website to another to increase people's authority. And the vast majority of our customers were SEO companies. And just over the years, they started, you know, like if they got backlinks and they got great results, they'd be super happy and they'd buy more. If they got backlinks and they didn't get great results, they'd go, hey, can you look at this? Why didn't we get good results? And we go, because your website's terrible. And so we started doing audits and providing more services. And so then we became like a full-service SEO company. But then we realized that it's not really about rankings. You know, no one so much cares about rankings. They care more about traffic. And then even you don't really care about traffic, you care about conversions. You know, it's your website's there to bring you more customers. And so we're evolving more into, you know, a conversion optimization company that focuses on, you know, bringing business to your door.
Awesome. So there's a couple things that we really have to talk about, and the first of which is authority. So there's going to be a number of things that I want to talk about you with, the first of which is going to be authority, but I want to talk to you more about the general state of SEO, because it's something that my clients talk to me a lot about, and it's something that I generally refer out and I'll bring in a partner for, but it feels like a lot's changed recently. But let's start with authority. Let's start with what you mean when you say authority. What exactly is that?
Yes. So The premise behind how Google works, right, is backlinks. Larry Page, the co-founder of Google, he figured that, like, when you write a book, if everyone references your book, then you must be the authority on that niche and you should, you know, rank well. He figured, well, it must be the same with websites. And it turned out that worked really well. And to start with, really, a link was just a link. And over the years, you know, Google's really tweaked that algorithm. And the more relevant that link is, the more authority it'll give you. And it's also done in the search context. So here in Cambodia, we've got a customer that does Mekong River cruises. You know, Mekong's the giant river that goes through Southeast Asia. And you know, we look at the search results, the difference between here and like in London, and it's very different. So, you know, if you're in London and you're Googling Mekong River cruise, chances are you're wanting information about the Mekong, what countries does it go through, you know, what's the history and things like that. Where if you're in Phnom Penh on the Mekong, well, you're looking to book a trip. And so it shows you very different stuff. And even the backlinks that get you there are different. So, like, you know, the Phnom Penh Post, the biggest newspaper in in the city, you know, they have a lot of authority for a business in Phnom Penh. But like The Guardian, which is a big newspaper in London, well, they have a lot more authority there. So it's how much is in your like sphere of the internet? I think one thing that people get mistaken with of the internet is they think it's like this magical cloud, where I like to think of it just like the real world, right? Like if you're a baker, you know, you work in your local community. You work with the guy that brings you the flour, the guy that, you know, sells your bread. You know, it's like you become the authority in that little area and you carve out your part. And I think you should do the same with digital marketing.
So wait, are you saying that the internet is not a magical cloud?
Well, I mean, in some ways it is. It is. It's pretty cool.
Okay, good, because I feel like you were about to crush all of my hopes and dreams. So, okay, so let's dig deeper on authority, right? So you know, backlinks are sort of a signal that search engines look at to say this person's a little bit of an authority, but it's a bigger thing than that. And being someone who is, you've been doing the SEO thing for a while, I'm sure you've seen all of the different changes that are coming into play. What are some of the things that make that are signals to Google that you're an authority on a subject beyond just the backlinks? Like, what are some of the things that people should be thinking about doing to establish themselves as having authority in a particular subject or becoming one, that nifty little buzz phrase of a thought leader?
Yeah, so you should definitely partner with the people that you work with or people in your niche. Like, you know, say you're a baker again, right? It's like, If you've got a link from a plumber, well, it doesn't really make that much sense. But if you've got links from all of your partner people, so, you know, the oven distributor, the, you know, the delivery boy, things like that, the guys that really interact with bakers and are in the same environment, it does build a lot of credibility and helps them both, right? So, you know, like the guy that sells ovens, he needs information about how to use an oven. Well, here, you could make bread like this, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, that builds your authority. You know, most people, they don't want to make their own bread, but they love to know that you know how to make bread. So you can tell them your great story about, you know, this is what you do. You grab your flour and you bake it like this and, you know, make the best bread ever. People go, wow, that's awesome. Now, can you make me some bread? And, you know, like that's a great way to share your authority, share your knowledge. You know, whatever you do, you're an expert in that niche, right? And so work with the people that use those tools and need that information and, you know, give it to them and show them what an expert you are.
Hey everyone, I just want to take a moment out to thank one of the partners that we have that makes this show possible, WP Engine. You know, back in the days of dial-up, people would wait for websites to load, but attention spans are shorter than ever. Did you know that the average attention span has dropped to a mere 8 seconds? And for reference, the average attention span of a goldfish is only 9 seconds. So you only have a short period of time to hook people on your website, and if half that time is spent waiting for the page to load, you are sure to lose customers. Beyond that, what do you do when your website goes down? Who do you call? Well, today's best businesses are running websites that load quickly and have virtually no downtime. In the event something does go wrong, the best businesses are back up and running in no time. That's why the best businesses trust WP Engine for hosting. If you're running a WordPress site like nearly 20% of the entire web, you owe it to yourself to upgrade your hosting to WP Engine. It's fast, it's secure, and their support is amazing. We use WP Engine at True Voice Media, and over the next 18 months, we're planning to move every single one of our sites to WP Engine. That's how good it is. Right now, WP Engine is offering 2 months free when you prepay for the entire year. And when you get to the site, look along the top of the page for additional discounts and offers. Go to truevoicemedia.com/hosting to learn more about the best damn WordPress hosting on the web. Would you say it's a good step then? And I'm asking, this is not even for my audience, this is just for me, but hopefully they'll benefit. But would you say it's a good idea then when you have partners to exchange links with one another, especially if you're dealing with complementary services? Again, pretend I'm a baker and I have, you know, someone who sells flour and someone who has an oven, and they're both partners of mine. Would it make sense for us to link to each other's sites?
It's for sure. Reciprocal links are great. One-way links are better. Because they're, you know, Google can see if you link to each other, then it's like a partnership, right? So it has less credibility. where if there's one guy linking to you and you're not linking back, then it gets a higher vote. But having, you know, showing that you are partners is a great way to build your authority as well.
So full disclosure, I'm in the world of social strategy, and my knowledge of SEO is limited to how it's impacted by social, and my knowledge of SEO and pay-per-click are generally limited to my understanding of how they might fit with an overarching digital strategy. I've heard, and again, this isn't scientific and it's really just hearsay, but I have heard that backlinks are not as important as they used to be. True or false?
Totally false. I mean, there's great articles out there. Moz did a beautiful one a little while ago. It's even entitled, "Can You Rank Without Backlinks?" And the study says no. And you look at any keyword and analyze the top 10, and it's the ones that have the best backlinks are the ones that rank. You know, it's just as simple as that. The more links you have, the better your rank. You know, if you Google click here, the number one site will be Adobe Acrobat Reader, because they've got the most links that say click here to download Adobe Acrobat Reader.
Is that true? Totally checking that out right now.
Google click here right now, I guarantee you.
I'm so interested in this. This is like... W3 is the first thing that came up. Ha ha. Yeah, but it is on the page. Yeah, Adobe Acrobat is within the top results. How about somebody was smart enough to create a website called Click Here Labs? Don't go look at them. Whoever's listening, don't go look. So what about anchor text? So for those that are listening that don't know what the hell anchor text is, you could say click here, or you could say in you know, for instance, in the example of True Voice Media, you could say social media agency and link off of those words and have it come back to my website. So what about anchor text? Is that still important?
Yeah, so anchor text is the bit of text that you click on to in the backlink. It's certainly very important. And Google likes to muddy the waters everywhere so that no one really knows what's going on, because the more information you have, the better you can reverse engineer them and manipulate the search results. And so anytime that they do an algorithm change, they try and be a little bit sketchy on the news that they report for it, because every SEO company is listening and going and testing and seeing what happened and then, you know, change to beat those results. And so they do say, you shouldn't be manufacturing links, but, you know, pretty much everyone does. And anchor text is super important. And so you do need to keep it natural, because the vast majority of anchor text is usually naked URL, which is, you know, just the URL, or the brand name. So, you know, Adobe, you know, it's rarely that people will write like download the best PDF reader now.
Yeah.
You know, like, or whatever the keyword is you're chasing, you know, buy tennis shoes. You know, they'd normally go, you know, Nike or so. But if you are trying to build backlinks and you want to get lots, you know, say buy tennis shoes was the keyword that you're after, well, then it's good to have lots and lots of anchor text that's around that. So, you know, click here to buy the best tennis shoes, you know, Susie's shoe shop for great tennis shoes. You know, it's like if you get all of these different links, but they're around that topic, that, you know, links Google with all of the different phrases that you want and tennis shoes, you know? So it's really important, the anchor text.
So you do this like day in, day out, right? Like this is like your full-time thing, is that you and your team are helping companies to develop backlinks and to overall SEO strategy to grow their rankings so that hopefully they can not just rank better, but not just get more traffic, but get more sales, right?
That's it, for sure.
So how deep do you go with clients? I mean, are you guys really like building like the overarching, you advising them on their website, and do you touch on social at all in what you're doing?
We don't really do very much social. I mean, like, as I said, we started out in completely 100% links, and that's really all we did. And then over the last 3-4 years, we've really started a lot more SEO. So, you know, we got 2 offices in the Philippines. It's pretty much exclusively Filipinos. And the reason that is they have great English and great rudimentary IT courses there. So, you know, they've got good basic skills. But then when we started doing more... on-page SEO, we needed a higher skill level. So we opened another office in Cambodia, And here we have pretty much expat staff. So, you know, they've all native English speakers and have, you know, universities from Western countries, which, you know, are superior. And it allows them to do the much more technical things. But, yeah, we do try and focus, rather than, like, getting obsessed with a certain keyword, like, you know, buy tennis shoes, you know, it's more important that you're getting people to your website and they are buying the tennis shoes. What are they doing when they're going to that page? Why are they bouncing? You know, what's that page for? You know, you've got this great article that's getting lots of traffic, but, you know, then you're not pushing the people to do anything. What do you want them to do? Call your phone, join your newsletter? You know, what's the intent of that page?
So in the conversion optimization side of things, that's part, you know, kind of the mathematics of this number of people click from this particular area on these keywords, et cetera, and converted, but it's also partly what's happening on the page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, one reason we did really kind of move that way was selfish in our first way, is that, you know, if you can show to a customer that if it doesn't matter if they're paying $1, $1,000, $10,000, if you can show that you're bringing in more money than that, that they're getting a positive ROI, then they're going to be your customer forever, right?
Yeah, if you get a client and they give you $1 and you give them back $2, they'll probably spend every dollar they have with you because it'll keep making twice that.
Yeah, exactly. So that we did it for selfish reasons to start with, but then it just makes good business, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, like we've got a customer recently. They have a newsletter, and they said, "Oh, we're going to shut that down to every 2 months rather than 1 month because we get unsubscribes." I'm like, what the hell are you want? Why do you want this big newsletter that no one reads? Then you're afraid to email your people. You know, if you don't have interaction with your audience, you know, you're better to have an audience of one that actually listens to you than, you know, 1,000 or 10,000 that don't. You know, you want engagement, and, you know, it doesn't matter how much traffic you're getting. Like, what's it matter if that keyword's bringing you in 100,000 searches? If none of them are buying your product or your services, who cares? So, you know, if you're getting 10 searches, that's way better if they're engaged.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty common across all areas of digital marketing and probably all areas of everything is that, you know, especially when it comes to social, we find a lot of the conversations we're having about, well, look how many followers they have or this or that. And I'm like, yeah, but if they only had 10 followers and all 10 of those followers were buying something, wouldn't that be a lot more important than your, you know, 100,000 followers that, you know, nobody's paying any attention? So I think it always does come down to that quality over quantity.
For sure. I read a really nice article the other day of social, and the guy was just talking about, like, interaction, and every time that he has someone comment on his stuff, he always asks them a question, because then it, you know, hopefully they'll comment some more and you get more interaction, and then you respond and ask another question. I thought that was really interesting way to do it.
Yeah, not a terrible idea. Not only that, but you're getting a lot of information out of them, exact language that they use and things like that.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
So a lot of the people that listen to this podcast are in the small and medium-sized business segment. You know, we have a couple enterprise users that we've spoken to, but a lot of them are small, medium-sized businesses. They're solopreneurs, and they're oftentimes either being terrorized by their CEO or they themselves are worrying late at night about how to increase their rankings and get better visibility organically. What are some of the places that you go to work with or that you would advise as a starting point for a smaller, medium-sized business to just take them from zero to not terrible? You know, zero to three. Like, what are those first starting points that you immediately see as problem areas?
One thing that we often see is how terrible people's metadata is. Yeah, you know, metadata is like your title tags and descriptions, which is usually what Google will display in the search results. You know, so if you have it set to something boring, it's not going to get click-throughs. So if you Google site, S-I-T-E, colon, and then your domain name with no spaces, it'll show you all of the pages that you have indexed in Google's eyes of which pages are most prominent. So it's usually your homepage is number one, and then whatever it thinks is the important page is number two. And if it's not in the structure that you think is correct, then your information architecture, the way your site is structured, is not correct, and you should really look at that. But what's more important is you can really easily see your titles and descriptions, and you should see that they are nice. You know, like if unless you have a big brand name that everyone knows, you know, it shouldn't say, you know, XYZ shop. It should say, you know, what you are, the best tennis shoes. You know, click here to get a great deal on awesome tennis shoes or something that's interesting and is whatever that page is about. Like a click-through is a really good signal for Google, right? So, like, the number one search result gets about 33% of the traffic. Number two gets about 28%. And so if you've got a better headline, you know, if the top one's, you know, tennis shoes by George, you know, and the second one is, you know, click here for the best tennis shoes under the sun, and it gets a better click-through rate. As it starts moving up towards, you know, 30% and the number one results moves down towards 31%, as they meet up, it'll switch and you'll get to the number one position just through increasing your click-through rate. And so that happens with, you know, every other position in Google as well.
Really? I never knew the click-through rate had an actual impact on results.
It's a really big sign because, you know, Google can see what is happening. And another thing is your bounce rate, right? So if someone clicks on your result and then comes back to Google, well, Google can see, well, that wasn't a very good result, you know? So if they clicked on buy tennis shoes, went to site A, and then come back to Google and then click on site B and then stay there, well, that's a sign for Google that, oh, well, site B must be a better result for, you know, tennis shoes.
Got it. So I feel like SEO is this giant black hole of mystery. And I, just in the amount of time I've been doing what I do in digital marketing, I have heard like 100 different sides to what works, what doesn't work, you know, how long should something take, et cetera, et cetera. I've heard everything from it could take months for Google to adjust the algorithm all the way down to 48 hours they begin making changes. So, you know, what is the best way for the uninformed to stay current on what's actually known versus what is total BS? Like, how do you stay current?
I read and test a lot. I mean, exactly what you say is there's so much information out there and there's so much misinformation. You know, Google doesn't tell you what's going on. And there's so many people that have competing arguments and I read them all, but we try and do our own tests and measure and see what happens. I mean, we've got our customer sites, so we have a pretty good basis there to look at, but we have a lot of our own test sites that we do a lot more kind of random stuff on to, you know, our own sites, so we can really play with them. And, you know, if we screwed something up, it's, you know, it's fine. It doesn't really matter. And so, you know, you got to have those sort of test beds, and it is difficult. And without trying to like sound like I'm pitching or anything, people should really stick to what they're good at, right? It's like if you're a lawyer, stick to your lawyering. You know, it's good to have an idea about how SEO works or marketing, but why go out and do that? You know, when I'd get a corporation done, I go to a lawyer and get that done. You know, I go to an accountant to, you know, get my accounts done. I work with experts in their field,
yeah? Yeah, no, that makes absolute sense. I think one of the challenges, though, is that you look at, you know, so we're a social media and content marketing agency primarily. I mean, for lack of an easier way to describe it, that tends to be where we play. And it's very often that we get introduced as the SEO guy, which is just freaking weird to me because I've never once made SEO a part of what we do. Now, mind you, you know, being involved in content marketing, using the right keywords, coordinating with an SEO or a pay-per-click specialist has been super helpful for us and we can make an impact, but we never claim to make that one of our objectives. It's just kind of more of like a side benefit of what we do. But there, it's difficult, I think, for clients to recognize the differences. How clearly are you defining to your clients the separation between church and state of different areas of digital when so much of it is overlapping?
Yeah, I mean, it is difficult. And we are trying to even become more and more of a full service that we can do everything. Like, you know, we even took on chat support, and that's a big area of our business that's growing over the last year. And that was because a client asked us to, they get a lot of traffic to their Facebook page, and they were like, oh, can you monitor our Facebook page for us? And then they went, that worked great, so can you do our website as well? And that kept growing. And so back when we just did links, one of the SEO companies that we work with, they had a big link package with us every month for one of their big customers. And their customer wanted to do a site rebuild. And they went, it's not enough money. You can go and send that to another agency. And so they went to another agency to get the site rebuilt, and then they went to that agency for their SEO. And so we lost the link building gig. And I was like, man, geez, I would have built the damn site for them just to keep that gig, you know? And so you want to try and keep everything in your wheelhouse, because if they go to another agency for one thing, well, they might like them and go to them for everything. But people like to have one point of contact, you know? Like one of our biggest customers that we do so much for, they're the guys that we start off with chat support. They like that they can come to us and we can handle whatever they need, you know? And if we don't know how to do it, we can go and get it outsourced, but they only have one point of contact and their whole digital sphere's looked after.
Got it. Yeah, I mean, we struggle with it a lot because there, you know, it's so easy to start drifting into territory that's not yours, and then it also makes it tough when it comes to partnerships. How much have you guys looked into content marketing, and how much do you think content marketing plays into organic rankings?
I can't remember where I heard it from. It was probably Neil Patel, but it was like 10% of your time should be making content and 90% of your time should be getting that content looked at, right? You know, if you're writing the best content and no one is reading it, well, what's the point? And so, yeah, we do do a lot of outreach to either get people to link to content or actually providing content for other people's websites about, you know, our niche. You know, there's this great strategy that we use called broken link building. And so we'll find like a great bit of article. Say you're a baker, right? And we'll go to another baker's website and find some broken content that they don't have anymore that has really good links. So say, you know, this baker had some links from the local university and, you know, the oven guy and whatnot about this great article of how to make bread. The article's not there anymore. Then we make an article on our baker's website about how to make bread. You know, the same sort of article that they had, but even better, fresh new content. Then you go to all of the websites that had the link to it. So these websites have broken links on them and go, hey, John, you've got a link to this site that's about how to make bread and it's broken. We've got this great article on our website that's about how to make bread that, you know, is brand new. And you get a great response because you've helped someone out. They've, you know, helped fix their website because they've got a broken link and now they've got fresh content to link to.
Holy shit, that's brilliant. Yeah, and I got to tell you, that's happened to me in probably in the last like 2 months. That's happened to me where somebody's reached out to me and said, hey, you know, we've got this link that can replace the one that's broken on your website. And I was like, oh, well, cool, that's neat. So that's a really smart and crafty strategy.
Yeah, I mean, it's time consuming, but you're helping everyone, you know. You're making the internet a better place. You've fixed a broken link on their website and you've created really nice content for your customer's website. And straight away, people are looking at it and talking about it. So it's win-win-win.
So, okay, I absolutely love that tip. You got any others like that? Any more devious tricks up your sleeve like that?
So other ways are like improving content.
No. That's a unique and different take on how to go and get yourself some backlinks. And I'll give you an example. And this isn't a backlink thing, but I remember talking with a buddy of mine who's heavy in SEO, and he recommended doing a versus post. Like if you're trying to compare a bunch of things, you could do, you know, this brand versus this brand versus this brand, and then use that as a way of really piggybacking off of your competitors' search juice. So I thought that was always very clever. I haven't done a lot of that. It seems a little bit dirty, but awesome. But, you know, and you just gave this idea of, you know, searching for those broken links and then trying to, you know, kind of swim in that wake and get that traffic. You know, any other sort of tips like that that are your quick and dirty ones, or do you not want to share those?
No, for sure. Another really great one is people have guides for, like, you know, 2014 guide for how to do whatever the heck. And you can go and update it, make the 2016 guide, you know, so you're improving the content, you know, because pretty much any industry, it moves along. And then exactly the same thing, you can go and reach out to everyone that's linking to this 2014 guide and you go, hey, Do you want this new information? And yeah, you get a lot of links. It's a similar strategy, but it really works really great.
That's pretty strong as well. I dig that as well. Good move. So, okay, you're in search right now, and obviously you've seen it change a lot over the last, what, decade? How long have you been in this?
I quit my last job in 2010, I think. So about six years.
Okay, cool. So you've been doing it for a while. So you've seen it change a lot over the last 6 years, I'm sure, because I just know from an outsider perspective, someone who's not in the business of search, that it's changed a lot. And I've seen my own search habits change as a result of mobile and all those sort of things. So one, are you bullish on the idea that search marketing is going to be continuing in its importance, or that it's going to diminish as a result of social, or that you know, kind of where do you stand on the future of search marketing? And is it something that you're actively looking at potentially tweaking and changing and, you know, what you take on, not necessarily because of what clients ask for, but because of how you see the future of search? So really, long and short of the question is, where do you see the future of search marketing going?
It's interesting living in a country like Cambodia. You know, this is a country that really, you know, jumped technology gaps. You know, it came from the dark ages to the 2016. And people here use the internet so differently. Like, they don't use Google. They use Facebook for everything, absolutely everything. They think that is the internet. No one ever leaves that realm. So you'd just be crazy to even bother building a website here. You know, no one's going to find it. And interestingly, Mark Zuckerberg, he's a pretty cool guy with his internet.org. Like, Facebook is free here. You can use Facebook on your mobile. It's completely free. You can call people with Facebook Messenger. Doesn't cost you a thing. You know, it's great. It's like that in the Philippines as well. Absolutely free to use Facebook on your mobile, which I think is a really cool thing. But in regards to search, like in Western world, it's really prevalent. Like, when you're looking for a service, people aren't looking on Facebook. Sure, it's great to interact with that, but if you need a plumber, you go to Google. You don't go to Facebook. And that's not going to change in the near future. But, you know, Google does not make a cent out of organic search. And so they hate SEO companies, because SEO companies are constantly trying to reverse engineer their algorithm and, you know, get their customer better rankings. And so they're making it harder and harder and trying to all the time. Like, just recently, the AdWords keyword tool, they've removed search volume. If you don't have a paid AdWords account currently spending money, they won't show you search results anymore. Like, they search volume, they'll it's just between a factor of 10. So they'll say, this keyword has between 1 and 10 searches, this one 10 and 100, that one 100 and 1,000. So, yeah, they're trying to make it much more difficult.
Yeah, it's kind of messed up.
Well, you can see that they like it like that, you know. And a lot of big companies, they do prefer AdWords to SEO, because it's a guaranteed result. You put in X amount of money here, you get Y amount of traffic. You know, it's guaranteed. That looks better on your books, right? It's easier to navigate. It's like, you know, I spend $1 million here and I'll get X amount of traffic, where you spend $1 million on SEO, it's hard to quantify exactly what you'll get.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we've been pushing a lot of paid social, is because you really can't count on organic social the way that you used to be able to in the early days. So much like search, it's also changing in social in the same way.
But I think also it doesn't have the same credibility. Like, sure, you can get like SEM, search engine marketing is the common term against SEO. And sure, you can get much more guaranteed results, but people know they're clicking on a ad and it doesn't have the same authority. You know, if you search, you know, tennis shoes, yeah, there'll be ads up the top, but you're much more going to have a lot more belief in all the other ones that aren't ads. And I guarantee that they'd get a much better conversion rate.
Oh, absolutely. It's so much better whenever anything organic works, because it, like, the multiplier of the win is so much greater.
And the difference between organic and paid too is, you know, paid, when you stop paying, you stop getting. where organic, you know, well, you should never want to stop, but, you know, if you did, your results just keep compounding. You know, it's like you're going up 10% month on month on month on month, you know, so it's getting bigger and better where, you know, you're spending the same amount on search on pay-per-click, then each month it's just staying the same and you have to keep paying that exact amount.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I know some of our partners, they get so much traffic and so many leads just from their organic search ranking that I am indeed jealous of companies that are in that position. I mean, we do pretty well. We're usually in the top three for any of our things, but we also haven't paid very much attention. Most of our rankings are due to good meta titles, good meta descriptions, and a decent amount of links.
Yeah, I mean, that's the sort of simple things that people need to look at. Like, Google is trying to work out what your page is about and what the internet's about. You know, like, if you make it easy for them, you'll go up in the rankings.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it goes. So I want to kind of wrap up on this point because I want to get your take on it. As an SEO person, this thing happened on Google within the last 5 years that threw everyone for a loop. And it was called Google Plus. And I'm curious what you thought about that when it first came out. And also, you know, what went wrong there? Because when I look at it, that could have been killer. If they had just factored in Google Plus into search rankings and they had given people an incentive to use it specifically to boost their search rankings, I feel like they could have killed it with that. But, you know, I'd love to hear from an SEO what happened there and how you saw that development coming about and what you think about it.
Yeah. It could have been killer. And they did use it to manipulate search rankings. Like, so if you're in a circle of mine and like, so if you're logged into your Gmail, your search results will be manipulated to what you like. You know, if you like a certain style of site, they'll appear better in the search browser because Google will sway it to try and provide the best search results for you. And then with Google Plus, if you're my friend in my circle, in my, say, my running club, and then I'm looking for, you know, running shoes, well, it'll probably show me results that are tailored to what you like because it's got more information about our whole group, right? So in that way, it was really cool. But you know, you can't, you know, Facebook is a unicorn, right? It's like, it was not the first social media. It wasn't, it won't be the last, but, you know, it just got everything right at the right time. And, you know, whether it was even the best platform, that's debatable. And you can't manufacture a unicorn. You can try, but, you know, that's why big companies like Microsoft bought Skype and they just bought LinkedIn for a ridiculous amount of money. Because you can't. LinkedIn's a terrible platform, but you know, you try and build one that's better, and I bet there even is ones that are better, and you know, no one uses them. Everyone heard of LinkedIn, though.
Yeah, they could really improve their advertising platform dramatically, and I think part of what I saw as being challenging with Google Plus, and it's, you know, consequently it's happening to Twitter now as well, is that everybody's comparing to Facebook as if that's the only metric of success. And I think that that's a detriment to social. You know, I don't, and maybe you have the same thing in search in that, like, do you even give a shit about Bing? If you have a client that's like, hey, we want to rank on Bing, like, how often do you actually think about that realistically?
I never. So Microsoft spent some billions of dollars on marketing in the US for Bing, and they did cut out a little bit of a share. They have, I can't even remember what the number is, but it's okay. So, I mean, it is something to look at if you could care, but it's like, if you rank good in Google, then you should rank good in Bing. And why would you alter one for the other? You know, it's like, you know, if you try and optimize your site for Bing, you're quite likely de-optimizing it for Google. So why would you bother?
Yeah, exactly. What's the point? Fair points. Well, I know that there's something that when we had last talked, you had mentioned you were interested in offering to the audience of this show. So tell us about it.
Oh, indeed, Jeff. So yeah, just as a little thank you for having me on your show and everyone listening to what I have to say. We've put together an audit competition. So this is for one of your guests to win a comprehensive website audit. And these things are fantastic. They look at every one of the 200 metrics that Google used to determine where your website should rank. So that's everything from your backlinks, your outbound links, your inbound links, your metadata, your title tags, your site speed, usability, you know, click-through rates, bounce rates, you name it, absolutely everything. And so all you need to do is go to ardorseo.com/truevoicemedia, put in your name and email, and then we'll be drawing this during the competition 1 month after this podcast goes live.
Perfect. So 1 month from when this podcast goes live, make sure you go over to ardorseo.com/truevoicemedia. We'll put that all in the show notes. So anybody who's been listening to this, maybe you caught it on iTunes or Stitcher or something like that, make sure you head over to truevoicemedia.com/podcast, and you'll see our recent episodes, and you'll be able to find the link in the show notes, and definitely take advantage of this. You want to be the winner of this. Trust me, as we've just covered in this entire episode, it matters where you rank, and I'm pretty sure that Chris is going to be able to give you that info. Chris, thanks so much for coming onto the show. I'm going to put all this stuff in the show notes, but be sure to tell people right now where they can go and be social with you and learn more about you and what you do, and grab any sort of info that you have out on your sites and things like that.
Yeah, well, if you've got any questions, you can email me directly. My name's Chris Reed, K-R-I-S, and my email is chris@ardorseo.com, A-R-D-O-R-S-E-O.com, or you can tweet me at coolest guy in SEO.
Is that really, that really is your Twitter name?
That really is my Twitter name.
That is freaking awesome.
Or well, just Google the coolest guy in SEO and you'll see plenty of me.
You know what's funny is I so dig that, and it's because on my LinkedIn profile, my headline is the world's most handsome social media and content marketing strategist. So I dig that little bit of swagger because I'm pulling it off myself. It's gotten me a lot of play at networking events.
That was nice.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, Chris, thanks so much for coming on. You're a super smart dude. I appreciate you reaching out to me and us getting a chance to talk a little bit before this and then also in this episode. I hope the people listening that you you go back and re-listen and take up some of the advice that Chris had given us in this episode, and go forth and make more money. So for all you out there listening, thanks so much. Chris, thanks again for coming on, man.
Cheers, Jeff. Thank you.
You've been listening to the True Voice Media Podcast, and you made it all the way to the end of the episode. I'm proud of you. But now that you're here, this is what we're going to need you to do. First of all, head on over to your favorite podcast platform and give us a rating. If you don't know where to start, go to truevoicemedia.com/feedback. Next, if you're not yet a subscriber, it's time you fix that. Head over to truevoicemedia.com/podcast to subscribe by iTunes, Stitcher, or email. If you really want to show us some love, visit our partners and sponsors who help make this show possible. I know the show feels free, but trust me, it's not. I sure ain't done publishing these episodes, so I sure hope you're not done listening. I'll see you on the next one. Take care.